You know, when you do it with the small pool, you get a certain amount of information, but we feel the best assessment, especially for the amount of money we're going to be spending, would be to have it with the entire department in regards to patrol division. So that's where we are. We're looking forward to it. We're getting ready to start training, I believe, next week and start rolling them out. So, you know, that'll take some time, but yeah.
It's taken a couple of years longer than you had originally hoped. The second round of procurement then did find a camera vendor with appropriate battery life.
Appropriate battery life, and I would say a acceptable, I hate to say failure rate, but that's pretty much what it is, as far as a rate with less problems. And so, yes, this has worked out very good. The people who were testing them before, this camera's a little smaller, easier to, you know, work with, and they seem to like it.
What sorts of failures? Is it failure to save, failure to record, failure on the 30-second buffer when you turn it on? What sorts of failures are
we
talking about?
We had some failures to record. We also had some failures. These cameras have irises in them, like regular cameras, and they weren't adapting to lighting conditions in a timely manner. I will say that the people involved in testing them, they took it serious. They want them to work and be successful, but obviously when you have something and you're looking to get that footage for your report and it's not there, it's disappointing. We think we have worked that out, but I always say, just like computers and everything else, there are going to be some glitches at times, but the other product that we tested didn't meet our standards.
What is an acceptable failure rate? 1%? 1.5%?
I don't know enough about them to say that. I would like to say 1%. I imagine it's higher than that. But the rate that we had it before was unacceptable. We have a committee. Assistant Chief Kenny Bays oversees it. And we have a couple sergeants actually in charge of procuring the cameras and assessing them. And then they work with the officers who are testing them. So we kind of have a committee that does that.
Who is the vendor that you're using for the full deployment pilot?
I would rather not say, because if for some reason this vendor doesn't work, I'll be moving on. You know, we will move on to another one. So I've not said who our vendors are at all.
In the couple of years that you have been testing and assessing, has the price changed?
Our budgetary estimate is about $600,000. So when we start looking at them, we look within that. So I wouldn't necessarily say the prices have changed, because we were testing one product, then we went to another product, so I don't know. I will tell you this, though. There have been like generational changes with the cameras evolving since we've had them. Even the other manufacturer is telling us that they have some changes that they've done to make their product better. So it's always churning. And that was part other problem. You know, I looked at other agencies, our committee did, and some agencies who just jumped right out and got cameras, then they had issues. And now they're kind of stuck with those cameras until, you know, they can buy new ones, because obviously everyone has a budget. So we were trying to test, you know, we had some parameters that we were looking at, and, you know, I wanted cameras that would work in conjunction with the lights in the squad car. So when you activate the lights in the squad car, the camera should come on. Some had that initially, and then some have come around to that. We wanted something that would be easy for the officers to obviously activate and turn on. You know, by the law, you know, you have the pre-buffer of 30 seconds. But I also wanted cameras that would download once they got into a proximity of the department, because I knew other departments had an issue with officers having to stay in the station or department because they are waiting for information to download from their cameras before they could go back out. These should start immediately once we start to get within a certain proximity of the department. So just things that function well and obviously work within the parameters of the law. You mentioned earlier that was an issue with the other product we looked at was battery life. And, you know, they can always tell you we're going to get it better, but when you're testing it, you need to know what's going on then.
What is the expected life cycle of body cams as a piece of technology? Are you hoping for a 5-year replacement cycle or something longer? What?
That will depend on once we actually get down to the nitty-gritty in regards to a contract and actually procuring them. But I think 4 to 5 years would be about a good estimate.
Let me pursue this. I'm a little intrigued that your hoped-for vendor is willing to fully deploy to the entire patrol force without the contract in hand. How did that come about?
Some good negotiating by Assistant Chief Bays and their faith in their product, and obviously they have enough of their product to equip our entire department. They knew that we are serious about what we're going to do, so they made that offer, and we're taking them up on it.
And how long will your trial period last, and how will you finalize the assessment?
We will see after we get all the cameras out. That's not set in stone yet, but I would imagine by the summer that would have been long enough to assess it. We will definitely have it done before this budget year is over.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with the Bloomington Police Chief, Brendan Heffner. You just recently presented your annual crime statistics and a look ahead to the City Council. What are the takeaways from that?
We've had some things go down and we've had some things go up. Overall, we saw a 1% drop in crime, approximately 10 less cases than what we had last year. So we knew that the way crime had been the last 4 years, that there was going to be a point where it might, for lack of better words, level off. But for the last 4 years, we've had crime almost drop right at 30%. So we're very proud of that.
Within the 10 uniform list of serious crimes, the homicide, criminal sexual assault, robbery, aggravated battery, what was your largest decrease?
Our largest decrease would have been in arson. And we really don't have, you know, that much to do, you know, in regards to arson. You know, those things kind of happen, and we, you know, we respond to all crimes, but I would say that the largest increase where I think we have an impact in regards to how we deploy resources and other things would be in robberies. Robbery was down 25%.
And thefts were down 7%. Those are both high number. Thefts are a higher number than robberies, but you still get a fairly robust sample size of 60 robberies down to 45. What's moving the theft number? Because that's less likely to be patrol-related.
Thefts can occur in stores and other places, and I think loss prevention efforts can increase. You know, we have Officer Mendiola who puts on training. Officers talk to vendors. You know, and our presence in some places, I think, can help deter the theft.
This isn't on the UCR list of crimes reported, but how are street-level gun violence cases running?
Our shooting incidents were down to 24, I'm sorry, from 39 the previous year. We did, however, you know, we seized an assault rifle again this year. We're still seeing a wide range of weapons, you know, when we do seize them, and we work it diligently.
What do you attribute the drop to, if that is statistically significant?
Just the effort overall. You know, we have a good intelligence unit that gets information out to patrol and detectives in regards to people that we know could possibly be involved in gun violence. We also are follow-up on cases involving gun violence, even if it's shootings where people were not hurt. You know, we monitor. People like to put things on social media. So if you're on social media and you are flashing weapons, we will probably keep that in mind when we're looking for you. And I will tell you that after shooting incidents, people get on social media to talk about what they did and brag about it. We follow up on things in that way, too. So I just think it's just a collective effort, starting with our intelligence unit. It gets the dots and connects them and helps us follow up on things.
Has hybrid gang activity leveled out? That had been a source of some of the shooting incidents in past years.
That's still about 95% of the shooting incidents. It's still the hybrid gang problem. No different. We are no different than Peoria, Chicago, you know, Decatur, Springfield. We are all battling the same thing. We, like I said, I can't speak for everybody else. We're all battling it, but ours went down, and we're happy about that. And we're going to keep our efforts towards thwarting it.
This is Sound Ideas. Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner is talking about the Uniform Crime Report, UCR statistics for calendar year 2017, a 1% drop over 2016, and an overall count drop of 10 incidents for the city of Bloomington. One category that went up was criminal sexual assault, a 70% increase from 43 to 73. What is going on there? Is there anything that the numbers tell you?
The numbers, even though they went up, it is still underreported. I feel that with more information out in the media, regular media, social media, and education, some of the social service agencies that work with victims, I feel that we have more people reporting these terrible crimes than we've had before. And I think that played a major factor. We don't have anybody out here. We don't have a serial rapist out here or anything like that. But I feel that victims are feeling more comfortable about coming forward and reporting these cases as opposed to in the past.
Is this an artifact of the Me Too, Harvey Weinstein increase in attention nationwide?
Yes, I would be remiss if I didn't say that that probably played a part as well. But like I said, also just the other social service agencies talking to victims, you know, I think it all works together. But no, there's no doubt that, yeah, that public publicity in regards to that Weinstein case, I'm sure, played a part along with the Me Too movement. When people, they see that there are other people who have been victims like themselves that have stepped forward, people come forward.